Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanamane. Namaste Saraswati Devi Guru Mani Pracharane Nivasesha Sanyavadi Paskati Devi Tarane. Om Aganati Minandasya Jana Jana Salakaya Chakshu Sumiratan Jena Tajmai Sri Gurave Namah Sri Chaitanya Manavishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Sayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Sapandantikam Vansa Kaupatubhyascha Kripasindhu Vayibhacha Patitanam Pabhinebhyo Vrishadebhyo Namonama Hare Krishna. It's interesting to note that more than we see with our eyes, we see through our mind or our citta, our consciousness. And when we come to Sri Vrindavan Dham, depending upon the quality of our consciousness, we will see in one way or another. There is an ultimate way to see Vrindavan. And I would like to read some verses, not very many, from Srila Prabodhananda Saraswati, who saw a Vrindavan very different from what I see because of his exalted consciousness. But please listen to how he saw Vrindavan, and please understand that Vrindavan is unlimited, and our time here is very special. It's very rare, it's very fortunate, and it is very special. And what we hope or desire to do while we are here, or we hope to desire to do, is to see with a different consciousness. Please listen to how Prabodhananda Saraswati sees when he looks and sees Sri Vrindavan Dham. The same Vrindavan Dham that we are seeing when we look with our eyes, he walked in these same places, and this is what he saw. The land of Vrindavan is filled with the good qualities of all seasons. It is brighter than the brightest. It is sweeter than the sweetest, and it is the bestower of the ultimate goal of life. It is more soothing and fragrant than all soothing and fragrant objects, and it is an ocean of transcendental bliss that surpasses even the most blissful objects. Sri Vrindavan is the supreme shelter of all matchless beauty. It is marked by the beautiful lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha Muralidhara, who are oceans of transcendental qualities and who bestow sweet ecstatic love that defeats even nectar. Just reside here eternally in that Vrindavan. Vrindavan is decorated with many raised platforms covered with jewels and smeared with camphor powder and pollen. Just by touching this land, one's lamentation, one's illusion, one's old age, death, hunger, and thirst are vanquished. Therefore, just take shelter of Vrindavan and cross the ocean of material existence. Sri Vrindavan is full of transcendental effulgence. It is extraordinarily pure, and it is indescribably attractive due to the effulgence emanating from the jewels there. It is eternally pleasing and decorated with the marks of Sri Krishna and Sri Radha and Sri Krishna's lotus feet. When will I be able to remember the land of Vrindavan, which is filled with unlimited transcendental qualities? this most blissful land of Vrindavan is not understandable even to the most learned person and their masters. It is the topmost spiritual truth. It is full of unlimited glories. It gives immense pleasure to the Supreme Lord. It is self-manifest and full of transcendental mellows. It is completely transcendental. It is unique. There is no place like it. And by its sweet nectar, it gives great happiness to my mind. The trees and creepers of Vrindavan are stunned by the nectarian rays of the spiritual moon. The forest of Vrindavan is filled with the dancing and sweet singing of parrots, cuckoos, peacocks. Intoxicated humming bees fly through the groves of Vrindavan. The rivers and lakes of Vrindavan flood the entire abode with sweet nectar. Just meditate on that Vrindavan. Even if one is controlled by lusty desires, desires of name and fame, and is against following religious principles, if he takes shelter of Vrindavan and attains the mercy of Vrindavan, what perfection remains for him to achieve? Why would one not meditate without deviation on the abode of Sri Vrindavan, which is an ocean of mercy and more soothing than the full moon? O Vrindavan, you are completely transcendental. Therefore, even if I commit offenses against you, which we shouldn't do, you are nevertheless my only shelter. O Vrindavan, I am the most fallen soul because I falsely claim that I belong to you. Therefore, out of your own mercy, please accept me as your servant. Fragrant pollen is carried in all directions. The entire abode of Vrindavan is flooded by an ocean of nectar. It is covered with spiritual rays and filled with the sweet sounds vibrated by intoxicated birds. All glories to that Vrindavan. The land of Vrindavan is inhabited by grass, by trees, and creepers that are all Satchitananda. It is decorated with groves wherein the most ecstatic amorous pastimes of Sri Radha take place. It is decorated with transcendental lakes, rivers, and mountains. It is inhabited by transcendental birds and animals. I meditate on Vrindavan where bumblebees fly around in ecstasy. With many wonderful jeweled altars, Sri Vrindavan looks most attractive. It is decorated with ever-blissful divine trees and creepers. It is saturated with the pleasing sounds of birds that are overwhelmed with ecstatic love. And it is surrounded by the nectarian Yamuna River. I meditate on such Vrindavan. Therefore, Sri Vrindavan is my only shelter.
So, Hare Krishna, the time is now. The place is here. You have arrived. Many of us have planned. Many of us have rearranged the busy schedules. We have looked forward to this. We have thought, I can't believe I'm doing this year, finally. We have heard so much. The time is now, the place is here, you have arrived. Going on a retreat means in some ways to break an old pattern of behavior and thought to develop a new pattern of behavior and thought. This will probably be my only Western thinker whom I'm quoting here in this Holy Land. But when Albert Einstein was asked for a definition of craziness, he said, "He is crazy who thinks if he continues to do the same thing, he will have new results." Doing the same thing all over again and thinking, oh, something new will develop. That was his definition of craziness. We all have certain habits. Our life, which we lead, is governed by our desires, by our value systems, by our expectations, and most probably they are always the same, more or less the same. Going on retreat means to exit this self-constructed little world of ours. And in some ways, realize the freedom which we have, the unlimited freedom to lead a life which is serving our present state of development much, much better than what we usually do. Those who have organized retreats speak about the liminal space, a space in which the person who goes on a retreat has to go in order to make new discoveries. While in Vrindavan this year, I visited one sacred place called Kadamba Kandi, where I saw a beautiful cave in which spiritual people have gone to make new discoveries. They have left the ashram at the foothill of the mountain, and they have climbed the steep path next to these trees where there are a lot of peacocks, and they have then found the cave and sat in the cave and not left it until they have made new, let us say, insights in their life. A liminal space, my dear devotees, my dear friends, is something where you leave your old life behind, but where you have also not yet fully realized your new life. You're not yet enlightened in the liminal space. You are in an in-between state. You are not in your old life, and you are not yet where you wish to be. But strangely, it is in particularly this in-between state where you can discover new paths, new things in your life. For some, this is a scary place. They are afraid of this. I have a friend who is a school teacher and who has asked his school class to do a meditation according to one of the meditational guidelines which I have written down in one of the books. And when it came to the part where they had to close their eyes, a few of the school children became afraid. There were no mobile phones. There were nothing to see, which they usually saw. And they felt uncomfortable because modern men or modern women who are so much outwardly facing are afraid to go inside into the spiritual, into the space of the heart, the temple of the heart, as it's often said, the sacred space inside where growth can take place. There is an easy way, which we teach in these retreats, how you can enter this space, a way where you don't have to be afraid, a way which works very easy. You hear about, this is called Shravanam, spiritual subjects, then you reflect about these subjects. You may reflect about this by talking with your friends and your retreat neighbors and so on. It's good to reduce phone calls and WhatsApp calls and what's not up calls and what is Facebook, what is I lost my face, book face, what is your normal zones in which you work. It's good to minimize all this. Also, no need to buy a newspaper. and just create a new world for you. A world which is composed of the spiritual inspirations and guidance which you will receive from those who give the retreat. And then, my dear devotees, see how you can apply those new insights and make them work. This is how you enter a new zone. This is how you enter a new level. This is how you come to a new platform in your life, and a new space, if you so want. No? You hear, you reflect, you, I think in American slang you will say, you mill over it, you digest it, you struggle even with the concepts, you deal with them, you engage with the subject, during the classes and outside of the classes, in your dreams even, that will happen, you will have good dreams, hopefully, mostly one has. And then you apply this, and by the mercy of Vrindavan, some amazing new insights, and not just insights, blessings will happen. I do not tire to read a verse which is, I feel, very, very relevant for all of us who go on a retreat. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that anyone who remembers this verse and keeps it in his heart shines in the association of devotees. In other words, he is special amongst the devotees. This verse talks about a very wonderful concept. It comes in the 11th canto, that is to use our bodies and minds to attain amazing spiritual treasure. I want to say this especially this year, because you will have to keep a little bit your focus on, as you see here out in the out in the village, if you so want, we are very close to the pulse of nature. This year the Govardhan retreat is, or the Holy Name retreat, and later the Govardhan retreat is a little later, because the Purushottam month has pushed all the dates into the back. So you will face a little bit cold. It will be colder, it will be a little darker in the morning and quicker dark in the evening. You need to have an inner resolve to keep your purpose strong. And this verse, which I would like to read to you, can give you a strong motivation. It gives you a strong motivation for spiritual practice. It says, this process is the supreme intelligence of the intelligent and the cleverness of the most clever. For by following it, one can in this very life make use of the temporary and unreal to achieve me, the eternal reality. Bhakti, and especially the foremost practice of bhakti, chanting the holy name, is so unique that if you use the body and the mind, which are susceptible to disease, to all kinds of unnecessary thoughts and mood swings. Now, if you use this instrumentarium in the process of bhakti, you can reach the highest spiritual goal, the eternal and the eternal. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur expresses it like this. The inhabitants of this planet who are mortal, who are born in low family, can offer me their bodies, Krishna speaks, they can offer me their bodies, which are actually not worth a penny. I have to object. According to one calculation, your body is worth €1.25. So, the inhabitants of this planet can offer me their bodies, which is actually not worth a penny. It means the chemical composition is not so valuable. For they are often deformed. Those of you who are older can look down their bellies and see. For they are often deformed and will eventually be afflicted with old age and disease. But through their offerings, they can attain me, the ocean of sweetness, Haribo. I accept their offerings. I, who am supposed to be the most clever, give myself with joy to the devotees. And along with me comes my priceless ornaments, my bracelets and my crown, a gold crown. So aren't these inhabitants of this planet the most intelligent and skillful? So what does it mean to give our body to the Lord? It means to engage the ear in hearing about Krishna, hearing his holy name. And it means to engage the mind in remembering, thinking about Krishna. And it also means to engage your hands in the service of Krishna. This is what it practically means, to engage the temporary, that which is not eternal, that which has to go, that which will be taken out of your hands, to engage that for the highest benefit, to go back home, back to Godhead, and join Krishna in his loving pastimes. Keep, please, this motivation strong in your life. In your retreat. As you are on the retreat, please engage your body and mind for this one purpose, to increase your chanting of the holy name. When I was in this Kadamba Kandi forest, and in this cave, I also visited one little village with a very important temple of a gopi dedicated to the gopi Rangadevi, and it's in Rakholi. And there on the altar, I saw the holy name written with Sanskrit letters, and I asked the pujari, "Do you worship this written form of the holy name?" And the pujari, he was elderly, he became silent, and he looked at me. How do you say in English? Trying to find out if he could tell me something which he considered very valuable. Then he gave himself an inner kick, I think you say, an inner push, and he said, "Yes, Maharaj, we worship here the holy name. The holy name of Krishna is the only boat which can take a soul over the ocean of samsara. Even Krishna is surprised when he hears about the potency and power of his own holy name." And he said it from such a deep place, from such a realized place, that I remembered Prabhupada's statements. This chanting, my dear devotees, is the very foundation of our spiritual life. Those who know something about construction know that if you want to build a substantial building, a high building, you must go deep in your fundament and build a strong fundament. So you have all come here to work really on the fundament, on the basis, on the very driving force, if you so want, and on that which holds you in your spiritual life. And for that, it is really, really important that you remember this motivation. Okay, for 1 week, I'm going to apply myself sincerely to chanting the holy name and learning how to improve my chanting. It's really important to stay from the very beginning focused on this aim and to maintain this. There is an analogy in the Vedic scriptures. Also, it is cited in the Bhagavatam. It says, the mantra is the bow, the self is the arrow, and the supreme person, Krishna, is the target. A sober person should make himself into an arrow and use the bow of the mantra. When you use a bow, the first thing is you must take aim. I want my arrow to go there. This is I want to go it to go it. I want that it reaches this particular tree, or and push down an apple from the tree. Well, no archer uses bows and arrows to harvest apples, you know. I want my arrow to go to this target. Huh? And then you make a certain effort. You pull the bowstring. And it's not easy. When you have a good bow, a long distance bow, oh, you have to really learn to pull it. And then finally, you let go. These three things I want to recommend you during these retreats. Take aim. And we will do a short exercise in a few minutes where we take aim. Why are you here, my dear devotees? What do you want to reach in relationship to your foundational practice of Krishna consciousness, the chanting of the holy name? Huh? What is your approach? Take aim. Then consider a little bit what type of effort is appropriate for you. After some time, I think we will tell you how the retreats are laid out, what are the programs what are the optional programs, what are the programs where it's good to be in attendance. And then finally, my dear devotees, when you go on a retreat, relax. Now it sounds, after what you have heard, take aim, make an effort, and all of a sudden, relax, what is this? That sounds like California. No, what I mean is, surrender to Krishna and allow Him to give you exactly what He wishes to give you. When you are so much in the expectant mindset, when you are so much even desiring to see a miracle, Krishna dancing on the Govardhan Hill as you chant the holy name and so on, or even some very extraordinary chanting, your mind, your very expectations seals you off from the lesson which you are meant to make. Huh? This expectancy is something of very immature young beginners on the spiritual path. It is better to enter the receiver mood, to surrender to Krishna. So I really wish Buri Jampabhu to lead us in a concluding prayer session, so we have to be a little fast. I request you now to turn to your neighbor. The men will go with the men, the ladies with the ladies. Find a partner. I will go with Buri Jampabhu. Find someone, just it can be anyone, it doesn't have to be the most confidential friend. Sometimes I do this exercise and people say, can I phone my friend on WhatsApp? No, it's later you can. Who has not yet found a partner, please look around. Yash, you found someone? Good. It's important that you participate. Okay. So I request you to tell your partner why have you come to this Govardhan retreat? And what you are wanting to do during the retreat to attain a maximum benefit in your own spiritual life. What is your aim that helps you to take aim? And then what do you wish to do that helps you to define your effort? And then you can go very, very far. If you remain loyal or connected to these two purposes. Is the question clear? Two things? What is the first? My aim. Second, my effort, what I wish to do. Start now, please. We have not much time for this. You have to be a little bit active in your brain. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
It is my special honor and pleasure also to welcome you all on the behalf of the team which went into organizing this retreat. I believe it must be the 19th, am I correct? The 19th retreat in a row. Where we are actually doing something, I would say, very auspicious or very blessed. We are dropping everything else which we are doing and coming to this very, very sacred place next to Giriraj Govardhan, where we hope by his blessings, by his help, by his inspirations to go deeper in our Krishna consciousness. We will be together almost in the good boat of this retreat for an entire week. And as those of you who have been here a few times know, mostly everyone receives just the type of sign, just the type of subtle and sometimes not so subtle hint that is necessary in order to take the next steps in a spiritual life. To go on a retreat here at the sacred valley of Giriraj means to do something with special support, which unique support, to go deeper in Krishna consciousness. And you will all leave this retreat stumbling because you carry so many realizations that you will walk, wow, I got so much, now I need to start to implement it in my practical life. So welcome all of you for this, special retreat or special event. From my side, I'm very, very happy to form a Sangha, a community of sincere spiritual searchers. I'm looking forward in my preaching year for this time, for this wonderful association. I want to also give a special welcome before Prashanta welcomes our special guest, to my physical brother. Yes, same father. Krishna is, of course, the origin of all of us. We have also one generic father. So, Hare Krishna, Vaidyanath, welcome, and Nitya Siddhi. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. So, yes, let us be clear about this from the outside, from the outset. We are actually now one community, one community of deep spiritual searches, and I think we will realize or get the hints or help which we need at this stage of our spiritual life. Open your pockets, open your hearts, open your minds in the receiver mood, so that you can actually get make a nice experience. Good.
Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tanamane Namaste Saraswati Devi Guru Mani Pacharane Nivasesha Sanyavadi Prasthati Deja Tarane Om Aginajami Nandasya Jana Jana Salakaya Chakshi Sumilatam Jena Tajmai Sri Yudhavi Namah Sri Chaitanya Manavistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Sayam Rupakudamayam Dadati Sarapandantikam Vansatopa tubhyascha kripa sindhu vayibhacha patitanam pavinebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. Hare Krishna. It's interesting to note that more than we see with our eyes, we see through our mind or our citta, our consciousness. And when we come to Sri Vrindavan Dham, depending upon the quality of our consciousness, we will see in one way or another. There is an ultimate way to Sri Vrindavan, and I would like to read some verses, not very many, from Srila Prabodhananda Saraswati, who saw a Vrindavan very different from what I see because of his exalted consciousness. But please listen to how he saw Vrindavan, and please understand that Vrindavan is unlimited, and our time here is very special. It's very rare, it's very fortunate, and it is very special. And what we hope or desire to do while we are here, or we hope to desire to do, is to see with a different consciousness. Please listen to how Prabodhananda Saraswati sees when he looks and sees Sri Vrindavan Dham. The same Vrindavan Dham that we are seeing when we look with our eyes. He walked in these same places, and this is what he saw. The land of Vrindavan is filled with the good qualities of all seasons. It is brighter than the brightest. It is sweeter than the sweetest. And it is the bestower of the ultimate goal of life. It is more soothing and fragrant than all soothing and fragrant objects. And it is an ocean of transcendental bliss that surpasses even the most blissful objects. Sri Vrindavan is the supreme shelter of all matchless beauty. It is marked by the beautiful lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha Muralidhar, who are oceans of transcendental qualities and who bestow sweet ecstatic love that defeats even nectar. Just reside here eternally in that Vrindavan. Vrindavan is decorated with many raised platforms covered with jewels and smeared with camphor powder and pollen. Just by touching this land, one's lamentation, one's illusion, one's old age, death, hunger, and thirst are vanquished. Therefore, just take shelter of Vrindavan and cross the ocean of material existence. Sri Vrindavan is full of transcendental effulgence. It is extraordinarily pure, and it is indescribably attractive due to the effulgence emanating from the jewels there. It is eternally pleasing and decorated with the marks of Sri Krishna and Sri Radha and Sri Krishna's lotus feet. When will I be able to remember the land of Vrindavan, which is filled with unlimited transcendental qualities? Oh, this most blissful land of Vrindavan is not understandable even to the most learned person and their masters. It is the topmost spiritual truth. It is full of unlimited glories. It gives immense pleasure to the Supreme Lord. It is self-manifest and full of transcendental mellows. It is completely transcendental. It is unique. There is no place like it. And by its sweet nectar, it gives great happiness to my mind. The trees and creepers of Vrindavan are stunned by the nectarian rays of the spiritual moon. The forest of Vrindavan is filled with the dancing and sweet singing of parrots, cuckoos, peacocks. Intoxicated humming bees fly through the groves of Vrindavan. The rivers and lakes of Vrindavan flood the entire abode with sweet nectar. Just meditate on that Vrindavan. even if one is controlled by lusty desires, desires of name and fame, and is against following religious principles, if he takes shelter of Vrindavan and attains the mercy of Vrindavan, what perfection remains for him to achieve? Why would one not meditate without deviation on the abode of Sri Vrindavan, which is an ocean of mercy and more soothing than the full moon? O Vrindavan, you are completely transcendental. Therefore, even if I commit offenses against you, which we shouldn't do, you are nevertheless my only shelter. O Vrindavan, I am the most fallen soul because I falsely claim that I belong to you. Therefore, out of your own mercy, please accept me as your servant. Fragrant pollen is carried in all directions. The entire abode of Vrindavan is flooded by an ocean of nectar. It is covered with spiritual rays and filled with the sweet sounds vibrated by intoxicated birds. All glories to that Vrindavan. The land of Vrindavan is inhabited by grass, by trees, and creepers that are all Satchidananda. It is decorated with groves wherein the most ecstatic amorous pastimes of Sri Radha take place. It is decorated with transcendental lakes, rivers, and mountains. It is inhabited by transcendental birds and animals. I meditate on Vrindavan where bumblebees fly around in ecstasy. With many wonderful jeweled altars, Sri Vrindavan looks most attractive. It is decorated with ever blissful divine trees and creepers. It is saturated with the pleasing sounds of birds that are overwhelmed with ecstatic love. And it is surrounded by the nectarian Yamuna River. I meditate on such Vrindavan. Therefore, Sri Vrindavan is my only shelter.
So, Hare Krishna, the time is now, the place is here, you have arrived. Many of us have planned, many of us have rearranged the busy schedules. We have looked forward to this. We have thought, I can't believe I'm doing this year, finally. We have heard so much. The time is now, the place is here. You have arrived. Going on a retreat means in some ways to break an old pattern of behavior and thought, to develop a new pattern of behavior and thought. This will probably be my only Western thinker whom I'm quoting here in this Holy Land. But when Albert Einstein was asked for a definition of craziness, he said, "He is crazy who thinks if he continues to do the same thing, he will have new results." Doing the same thing all over again and thinking, oh, something new will develop. That was his definition of craziness. We all have certain habits. Our life, which we lead, is governed by our desires, by our value systems, by our expectations, and most probably they are always the same, more or less the same. Going on retreat means to exit this self-constructed little world of ours, and in some ways realize the freedom which we have, the unlimited freedom to lead a life which is serving our present state of development much, much better than what we usually do. Those who have organized retreats speak about the liminal space, a space in which the person who goes on a retreat has to go in order to make new discoveries. While in Vrindavan this year, I visited one sacred place called Kadamba Kandi, where I saw a beautiful cave in which spiritual people have gone to make new discoveries. They have left the ashram at the foothill of the mountain, and they have climbed the steep path next to these trees where there are a lot of peacocks, and they have then found the cave and sat in the cave and not left it until they have made new, let us say, insights in their life. A liminal space, my dear devotees, my dear friends, is something where you leave your old life behind, but where you have also not yet fully realized your new life. You're not yet enlightened in the liminal space. You are in an in-between state. You are not in your old life, and you are not yet where you wish to be. But strangely, it is in particularly this in-between state where you can discover new paths, new things in your life. For some, this is a scary place. They are afraid of this. I have a friend who is a school teacher and who has asked his school class to do a meditation according to one of the meditational guidelines which I have written down in one of the books. And when it came to the part where they had to close their eyes, a few of the school children became afraid. There were no mobile phones. There were nothing to see, which they usually saw. And they felt uncomfortable, because modern men or modern women who are so much outwardly facing are afraid to go inside into the spiritual, into the space of the heart, the temple of the heart, as it's often said, the sacred space inside where growth can take place. There is an easy way, which we teach in these retreats, how you can enter this space, a way where you don't have to be afraid, a way which works very easy. You hear about this called Shravanam, spiritual subjects, then you reflect about these subjects. You may reflect about this by talking with your friends and your retreat neighbors and so on. It's good to reduce phone calls and WhatsApp calls and what's not up calls and what is Facebook, what is I lost my face book face what is your normal zones in which you work. It's good to minimize all this. Also, no need to buy a newspaper. And just create a new world for you, a world which is composed of the spiritual inspirations and guidance which you will receive from those who give the retreat. And then, my dear devotees, see how you can apply those new insights and make them work. This is how you enter a new zone. This is how you enter a new level. This is how you come to a new platform in your life, and a new space, if you so want. No? You hear, you reflect, you, I think in American slang you will say, you mill over it, you digest it, you struggle even with the concepts, you deal with them, you engage with the subject, during the classes and outside of the classes, in your dreams even, that will happen, you will have good dreams, hopefully, mostly one has. And then you apply this, and by the mercy of Vrindavan, some amazing new insights, and not just insights, blessings will happen. I do not tire to read a verse which is, I feel, very, very relevant for all of us who go on a retreat. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that anyone who remembers this verse and keeps it in his heart shines in the association of devotees. In other words, he is special amongst the devotees. This verse talks about a very wonderful concept. It comes in the 11th canto. That is to use our bodies and minds to attain an amazing spiritual treasure. I want to say this especially this year, because you will have to keep a little bit your focus on, as you see, here out in the, out in the village, if you so want, we are very close to the pulse of nature. This year the Govardhan retreat is, or the Holy Name retreat, and later the Govardhan retreat is a little later, because the Purushottam month has pushed all the dates into the back. So you will face a little bit cold. It will be colder, it will be a little darker in the morning and quicker dark in the evening. You need to have an inner resolve to keep your purpose strong. And this verse, which I would like to read to you, can give you a strong motivation. It gives you a strong motivation for spiritual practice. It says, this process is the supreme intelligence of the intelligent and the cleverness of the most clever. For by following it, one can in this very life make use of the temporary and unreal to achieve me, the eternal reality. Bhakti, and especially the foremost practice of bhakti, chanting the holy name, is so unique that if you use the body and the mind, which are susceptible to disease, to all kinds of unnecessary thoughts and mood swings, now, if you use this instrumentarium in the process of bhakti, you can reach the highest spiritual goal, the eternal and the eternal. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur expresses it like this. The inhabitants of this planet, who are mortal, who are born in low family can offer me their bodies, Krishna speaks, they can offer me their bodies, which are actually not worth a penny. I have to object. According to one calculation, your body is worth €1.25. So, the inhabitants of this planet can offer me their bodies, which is actually not worth a penny. It means the chemical composition is not so valuable. For they are often deformed. Those of you who are older can look down their bellies and see. For they are often deformed and will eventually be afflicted with old age and disease. But through their offerings, they can attain me, the ocean of sweetness, Haribo. I accept their offerings. I, who am supposed to be the most clever, give myself with joy to the devotees. And along with me comes my priceless ornaments, my bracelets and my crown, a gold crown. So aren't these inhabitants of this planet the most intelligent and skillful? So what does it mean to give our body to the Lord? It means to engage the ear in hearing about Krishna, hearing His holy name. And it means to engage the mind in remembering, thinking about Krishna. And it also means to engage your hands in the service of Krishna. This is what it practically means to engage the temporary, that which is not eternal, that which has to go, that which will be taken out of your hands, to engage that for the highest benefit, to go back home, back to Godhead, and join Krishna in His loving pastimes. Keep, please, this motivation strong in your life. In your retreat. As you are on the retreat, please engage your body and mind for this one purpose, to increase your chanting of the holy name. When I was in this Kadamba Kandi forest, and in this cave, I also visited one little village with a very important temple of a gopi dedicated to the gopi Rangadevi, and it's in Rakholi. And there on the altar, I saw the holy name written with Sanskrit letters, and I asked the pujari, "Do you worship this written form of the holy name?" And the pujari, he was elderly, he became silent, and he looked at me, trying to find out if he could tell me something which he considered very valuable. Then he gave himself an inner push, and he said, "Yes, Maharaj, we worship here the holy name. The holy name of Krishna is the only boat which can take a soul over the ocean of samsara. Even Krishna is surprised when he hears about the potency and power of his own holy name." And he said it from such a deep place, from such a realized place, that I remembered Prabhupada's statements. This chanting, my dear devotees, is the very foundation of our spiritual life. those who know something about construction know that if you want to build a substantial building, a high building, you must go deep in your fundament and build a strong fundament. So you have all come here to work really on the fundament, on the basis, on the very driving force, if you so want, and on that which holds you in your spiritual life. And for that, it is really, really important that you remember this motivation. Okay, for 1 week, I'm going to apply myself sincerely to chanting the holy name and learning how to improve my chanting. It's really important to stay from the very beginning focused on this aim and to maintain this. There is an analogy in the Vedic scriptures. Also, it is cited in the Bhagavatam. It says, the mantra is the bow, the self is the arrow, and the supreme person, Krishna, is the target. A sober person should make himself into an arrow and use the bow of the mantra. When you use a bow, the first thing is you must take aim. I want my arrow to go there. I want that it reaches this particular tree, or push down an apple from the tree. Well, no archer uses bows and arrows to harvest apples, you know. I want my arrow to go to this target, huh? And then you make a certain effort. You pull the bowstring. And it's not easy. When you have a good bow, a long distance bow, oh, you have to really learn to pull it. And then finally, you let go. These three things I want to recommend you during these retreats. Take aim. And we will do a short exercise in a few minutes where we take aim. Why are you here, my dear devotees? What do you want to reach in relationship to your foundational practice of Krishna consciousness, the chanting of the holy name? Huh? What is your approach? Take aim. Then consider a little bit. What type of effort is appropriate for you? After some time, I think we will tell you how the retreats are laid out, what are the programs, what are the optional programs, what are the programs where it's good to be in attendance. And then finally, my dear devotees, when you go on a retreat, relax. It sounds, after what you have heard, take aim, make an effort, and all of a sudden relax. What is this? That sounds like California. No, what I mean is surrender to Krishna and allow him to give you exactly what he wishes to give you. When you are so much in the expectant mindset, when you are so much even desiring to see a miracle, Krishna dancing on the Govardhan Hill as you chant the holy name and so on, or even some very extraordinary chanting, your mind, your very expectations seals you off from the lesson which you are meant to make. Huh? This expectancy is something of very immature young beginners on the spiritual path. It is better to enter the receiver mood, to surrender to Krishna. So I really wish Bhurijan Prabhu to lead us in a concluding prayer session, so we have to be a little fast. I request you now to turn to your neighbor. The men will go with the men, the ladies with the ladies. Find a partner. I will go with Bhurijan Prabhu. Find someone, just it can be anyone, it doesn't have to be the most confidential friend. Sometimes I do this exercise and people say, can I phone my friend on WhatsApp? No, it's later you can. Who has not yet found a partner? Please look around. Yosh, you found someone? Good. It's important that you participate. Okay. So I request you to tell your partner why have you come to this Govardhan retreat? And what you are wanting to do during the retreat to attain a maximum benefit in your own spiritual life. What is your aim that helps you to take aim? And then what do you wish to do that helps you to define your effort? And then you can go very, very far. If you remain loyal or connected to these two purposes. Is the question clear? Two things? What is the first? My aim. Second, my effort, what I wish to do. Start now, please. We have not much time for this. You have to be a little bit active in your brain.